dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk, Shane Combs, Matt Combs, and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SBC fans. This is Shane Combs from SBCSportsZone.com, and I'd like to welcome you for the 100th time to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk online radio show. This is our 100th show, and looking back over the 4 years of the history of SBC Sports Talk, it's brought so much to SBCSportsZone.com. I have to make sure I give a special thank you to Triple Crown Family Fun Center there in Chillicothe. They've been our one and only sponsor of the show, dating all the way back to the beginning. And I'm joined again this week, as I always am throughout the fall, by my brother Matt, and as well as Jeremy Ward. And you know, Matt, I know you've been with me all the way back to the beginning. And as you look back over the show, just maybe some things that excite you about the show as we get into what I think is going to be a great 100th show here, and then a great rest of the year.
Well, I mean, we've talked about before, you know, when we started this show, it's changed a little bit. It's evolved, I guess. I mean, we started it more as sort of, you know, just an extension of the website, kind of reporting on the games and talking about the games and the players. And it's evolved a little bit into what it is now, which is a little bit more open discussion about some topics within the conference or within sports in general. So it's like anything else, you know. It's we try to always make it people driven, you know, the listener driven, I guess, the people that listen to it. And this is sort of what people seem to like, and we enjoy this kind of open discussion back and forth. So it's exciting. It doesn't seem like it's been 100 shows, but you know, I was trying to talk Bruce into maybe singing happy birthday for us tonight, but he declined. And so you know, we'll just have to make it a minor celebration.
Well, Jeremy, I know the one thing is you've come on board with us, you know, given us such perspective from different areas of Southeast Ohio. How would you feel that the website and then the show in particular here has maybe narrowed the coverage down to the Side of Valley, maybe getting a little bit more detailed coverage for the grade eight schools that make up the Side of Valley Conference?
Well, you know, we constantly have discussions about what makes the show better, what direction do we want to take, do we want to, you know, what perspectives do we want to measure from the outside to really give us a good depiction of what makes the Side of Valley Conference unique. And obviously, the development of this podcast, this internet show, is a unique set up when it comes to high school athletics. So, you know, as we talked the past couple weeks, what other area can offer, you know, this specific coverage and the balance outside of just football and basketball that SVC Sports Zone does? And you know, I think the 100 shows is mainly I think we should congratulate Shane and your work, and as well as Matt, because just the buzz that this creates and the attention it gathers for the athletes of the area is tremendous.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. And you know, I look back over the history of the show. I know we as coaches, we always tell our guys to stay within ourselves. I think back to the one winter I was joined by Eric Snyder, and we all try our best, but you know, none of us can give the great perspective of one Eric Snyder. In fact, I think Eric had something to say to us this week, didn't he, Bruce?
I can't believe that there's someone out there that might even disagree with something I said.
So if you go back to the history of SBC Sports Talk, and you guys can do that on the DBK website there. You'll just click on the SBC Sports Talk over on the right side, and you'll be able to scroll down through all the 100 shows over the years. And Bruce gives you a nice description there of what each show had. And I know what's been neat about that is some people picked up the show a couple of years in, and they'll talk about going back and listening to different things. So, again, appreciate everybody's had a hand in it. And I want to get right into it, guys. You know, fans, We thank you for all the support, and we feel like our 100th show here is going to be a great one. Guys, we have plenty of fall sports to talk about, but first, we talk coaching, not only from the sidelines, but from the stands as well. This first segment should be a lot of fun, so stay with us. Guys, I've gotten into some great discussions over the last couple weeks, and with a couple of the things with expansion a couple of weeks back and catching up in the inbox, I've kind of put this on the back burner. But then I've had a couple more in this past week with a couple people I really have a great deal of respect for when it comes to sports and coaching and some different things. And we got talking about the second guessing of coaching and how obviously with us being coaches, we get it. People are going to second guess what you do. We do it ourselves as fans. We'll sit on our couch over the weekend and we'll second guess a little bit. And we're fans of all sports, so we'll do that. I guess, Matt, I'll start with you just for the basic coaching concept here. I guess coaches, you just know what you're signing up for. Is that something you've just learned over the years that it just doesn't bother you?
I think you get used to it to an extent, or you at least, like you say, learn to expect it. You know, I think it probably bothers you more when you first start out, and then as you go a little bit longer, it starts to roll off your back a little bit. I mean, it's just the nature of the business. I mean, we, like you said, we all do it. We all sit right here on our couch and second guess guys coaching college or pro and who obviously are in that situation because they know what they're doing. But we all second guess them. So the armchair quarterback, he's been around a long time.
Well, Jeremy, it certainly has been around a long time, but wouldn't you agree that some social media and just overall coverage has taken it kind of to a different level?
Well, I mean, just think about it. You know, we've been blessed enough in our lifetimes the past 20 years to see the birth of so many experts when it comes to athletics. You know, every single television show, every outlet, you know, you've got analysts, former players. You know, if you subscribe to anything, Twitter, Facebook feeds, I mean, you just can't avoid it. There are so many people that understand sports better than coaches. It's hard to believe that anybody keeps their job very long.
Well, Matt, I'll tell you, one of the places this conversation had come up, we were talking football and they'd heard some comments we'd made on the show, and one thing led to another, and we got talking about college and pro and back to high school, and in full circle, we were talking about, like, in football being balanced. You always hear coaches, I'd love to be balanced. Got to throw for this. You hope to run for this. Let me just get your opinion just as an overall sports fan of football. I don't care if it's high school, college, whatever. Do you think balance sometimes in football can be an overrated thing?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm being honest, I do, especially at the high school level. I think sometimes as high school coaches in general, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, if you're not careful, you fall into, you know, I don't know whether imitating or trying to copy college or pro. And it's a different level still. You know, I watch games sometimes and I think, you know, I'll see teams running for 7-8 yards a pop, you know, and all of a sudden we're gonna just go a series and mix in two pass plays. And right. And it's almost like, I don't know if you have to be that creative tonight, you know. And I understand, too, though, sometimes coaches are working for the next game, too, if they think, you know.
Sure.
There's, so, I mean, again, it's like Jeremy said, you know, when you're sitting on the sideline second guessing, you always know more than the coach, so to speak. You know what I mean? Or at least you think you do.
But, okay, let me jump in and ask you this, because I think that was a great point, and I think this is a conversation that we've had before. Let's equate that to other sports. If you hit three perimeter shots in a row, the next play call is going to be an isolation in the paint, right?
Yeah.
you're going to go away from that hot shooter.
Yeah.
Same way, you know, if I blow my fastball by the guy, you know, two batters in a row, I'm going to start really looking to mix in my off speed.
Well, but as silly as that sounds, you see it happen all the time, don't you? I mean, exactly. You know, because again, sometimes in the baseball analogy, if you're not, if as a coach, you're not calling every pitch, you know, the high school kid's thinking, well, you know, I've already blown him away. Now I'll make him look bad on my curveball. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes it's that keep it simple, stupid method, right? That KISS method. But if it's working, you know, I think sometimes you just continue to go with it. But I think, but again, you don't know what's going through all coaches' heads. Like I said, he could be saying, you know, next week we're going to have to be able to throw the ball 15 times to win. So we've got to work on
it. Is it easier, Matt, as an experienced coach and one who's proven, when I say proven, maybe you've had some success, to go against the book? I mean, a lot of times I think coaches are probably second guessed, and maybe rightfully so, fairly so. I don't know. It depends who you ask. Because they're doing it by the book. Is it easier sometimes once you've had some experience and you're proven to maybe throw the book aside and go with the gut feeling?
Oh, I think there's no question that it is, because people tend to cut you a break. You know, I mean, let's face it, there are certain coaches out there at every level that people are going to give the benefit of the doubt to, you know.
Sure.
I mean, as crazy as college football fans are, you know, a Nick Saban, if he makes a questionable decision, there's going to be a few people say, what was that? But then they're going to say, well, he must have seen something. He might, you know, now, yeah, two or three losses down the road, all of a sudden he'll be the dumbest guy ever walked the earth. You know what I mean? If you ask somebody, but yeah, I think the more experienced you are and the more success you've had, people will give you a little bit of cushion.
Well, Jeremy, let me give you something just popped into my head here. I know, obviously, the two of us are baseball nuts. I just thought of the Giants in the National Series. When you think of Jordan Zimmermann, he comes off the no-hitter there late in the regular season. He's pitching an incredible game in Game 2. He retires like 20-some straight. He has two outs in the ninth inning, and he loses a guy on a walk there. And Matt Williams goes out and brings in Drew Storen, the Nats closer, which I guess is kind of the textbook or by-the-book type of thing to do there. Well, sure enough, Buster Posey and Pablo Sandoval get singles, and nine innings later, whatever, lose 2-1 in 18 innings, they go down 2-0. Is that a little bit of an example of what we're talking about here? Obviously, the hindsight's the 2020, where you have the opportunity to, after the fact, second guess and be a genius.
Well, yeah, that's also the difference between, you know, when you're trying to talk about second guessing or valuing or devaluing personnel decisions versus strategic decisions. And, you know, in some sports they go hand in hand. I mean, in the way you handle your pitching staff is certainly strategic, but I think you go to gut feeling, and I think that's what you see managers maybe in the postseason. It seems like they'll go with their gut more than they'll go with the book, like Matt was referring to earlier, and sometimes that just makes you scratch your head. But I think I'll go back to the point that Matt made earlier about the difference between second guessing at the professional level, the college level, and then the high school level. You know, the emotional attachment that everybody has to their team is, you know, a given. But at the high school level, normally the fans have a vested interest because it's family. So the personnel decisions are going to be the ones that get second guessed. And sometimes, you know, those aren't apples to apples. And, you know, I guess so to clarify, or maybe to get you guys to go into depth a little bit more, you know, do you think that that's a bigger deal in high school sports? It's the personnel decisions. It's not the strategic decisions, because that's what most of the fans understand. They understand the kids on the floor. They may not understand all the strategy involved.
Well, I think I think it is
for sure. Well, yeah, I think it is for sure. I mean, like you say, Jeremy, it's that personal attachment to it. It's personal because their son or daughter are involved, and
or your next door neighbor even. I mean, there's some.
Yeah, it could be anything. Right, and I think too. It's an interesting dynamic, because if you think about when we talk about the armchair quarterback or somebody second guessing coaching decisions. It's funny, because there are all different levels of knowledge of the game, obviously, you know, by people outside of the coaching staff or whatever that are sitting in the stands. I mean, you have some people that are really, really knowledgeable. Maybe they used to be a coach. Maybe they played college ball, maybe whatever. you have some people that aren't quite as knowledgeable. But one thing I found is the level of knowledge doesn't really equate to the level of second guessing. You know, you'll see people second guess that don't know anything about the sport, and you'll see people second guess that know a lot about the sport. But I do think a lot of times the more knowledgeable a fan is, even though they second guess, they will maybe see both sides of the argument. Does that make sense? You know, if you really know a sport, you'll say something like, man, I just don't know what that coach, you know, I would have done it this way, but this might have been what he was thinking. You understand what I'm saying? So it's funny to me to watch people who have got, you know, really great knowledge of a game, and people that are just sort of the average fan that don't know a lot about it, and see that difference, you know, I guess, in the way they second guess.
And Shane, I'll go lead that right into you. The one thing that I notice, and I think, you know, as Matt talks about the knowledge, the more knowledge that fans have, you know, like he says, you know, you might get a little more open-minded perspective, but that can also work in reverse. I'll give you an example. If in your mind you're a man-to-man defensive basketball mind, you know, whatever, that's what you think basketball should be, is, you know, man-to-man, straight up, whatever, and the team that you follow, you know, either really varies up their defensive looks or plays zone, do you think that leads to more second guessing just because, you know, the philosophical differences that some fans have?
Well, I do, because I think what happens is, as Matt said, it can be a very knowledgeable perspective, even in terms of when things are going bad and you're invested. I think there's a frustration, and there's a sense to want to know why, and there's a sense to want to break things down and analyze how can it be better. And I think you're going to be very subjective at that point in terms of, you know, here's what I'd like to see done. Chances are you're going to know the ins and outs and the corrections to make a little bit more there, where maybe you're not as familiar, or even if you're familiar, just you don't believe in it, as you say, as much the other way. And I think, you know, Matt, I guess to piggyback on the point of high school being different, I mean, I see this all the time. Let's go with Jeremy's example. Let's say you're in a defense and you guys are spurting 7-0 run, and the other coach calls timeout. They come over. You'll see a lot of coaches feel like, okay, I need to throw something different at them. But there's that other school of thought that says, well, wait a minute, he has 14, 15, 16-year-old kids just like I do. Do I want to come right back out in this and make sure the kids can adjust properly? Again, that's kind of that textbook mix. Don't you think sometimes it's a little bit harder with the adjustments to predict what's going to happen when you're dealing with the high school age compared to the higher-level athlete?
Well, it is, and this goes back to what we were talking about in my football example earlier, where we'll criticize a coach, but we don't really know what's going through his mind or what he's planning down the road for.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And the same way in basketball, it depends on a bunch of different things. You know, it depends on, you know, the talent of the team you're playing against. How good is their coach? You know, if you know that guy is really good and they're in a timeout and he's going to adjust to what you're doing, and you feel like, you know, you better counter move that, you know. So there's a lot that goes into that. That's the one thing about sports, is it's not an exact science. You know, that's why part of the reason we all love it. I mean, it's unpredictable. There's no absolute right way to do every single thing. And that's what makes it unique.
Well, I tell you, Jeremy, I've got to ask you this from the media role, because I know we've joked on here over the years about the SVC jinx and things like that. In all seriousness, the one thing over 100 shows, I got thinking back, Bruce was wanting me to think back to some of the things and topics, and the SVC jinx was one of the things I was laughing about and joking a little bit. But in all seriousness, when I do, say, my all-league teams at the end of the year, or when I do some of the predictions at the beginning of the year, when I first had started doing those, I was just a high school basketball or volleyball fan or whatever that threw out my opinions or whatever. And then I understood how much of an investment some of the people and families took into that. I mean, I've had my home called by grandparents. I've had, you know, email galore. I've had different things at a game where people come right up, how could you leave my granddaughter off a team, and you know, those are all fine and dandy, but I guess it opened my eyes to just how much of the role the media could play. Let me give you a couple scenarios over the weekend here. These just come to my head. I know we have a lot of probably Bengals fans. you know, you kind of could tell the whole week leading in that the Bengals were in trouble this past week when you consider what happened to the Patriots the week before and how the media just absolutely hammered the legendary status of, say, a Tom Brady. On Saturday, I'm watching college football, and we know how the national media likes to drink him a little SEC Kool-Aid. And I thought, you know, I'll sit down, I'll watch this Alabama game a little bit. I don't know how good of a game it'll be. They're playing Ole Miss, who I don't even know if I knew had a football team other than, like, Archie Manning and Eli Manning and maybe Sandra Bullock. I don't know. It's a situation, I guess, is what happens is people believe a lot of times what the media tells them to believe. And I'm not saying SVC Sports Zone is that level of high school, but what I am saying is that there is there's a lot of resources out there that kind of persuade people. And I think that from whatever level, as Matt says, whatever level of knowledge you have or what it is you're most subjective to is probably going to lead you down to what you're going to listen to or what you're going to read. And that's probably going to come into a lot of what ends up in the stands on a Tuesday or Thursday night at a volleyball game or on a Friday night at a football game. What's your take on the media role and how it educates people or lack thereof?
Well, I don't know that, you know, I would argue that it's not necessarily education that some could view it as, you know, manipulation.
That's a good word.
I think so many people just kind of regurgitate information, and, you know, that's not just in sports media, but I think that's a big part of national media that, you know, what's my favorite commercial? You know, it's a I met this guy on the internet. They wouldn't tell you anything on the internet that isn't true. Bonjour. I mean, the Bonjour commercial. I mean, I think that's the way it is. You know, just because I saw it on CNN or just because right. I saw it on the SEC, ESPN, you know, it's law. So I can take that to the bank. And it's not that that's not without fault or, you know, good intentions. I think you do have to understand the slant and the perspective that you're garnering information. But you would hope that conversations exist because of those discussions, you know, when you go to the games and not just, I guess fans taking, well, they heard this or, you know, well, Jeremy Ward said this, so, and he's an idiot. So, you know, whatever. So for SBC Sports Zone, but you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely,
if it leads to the discussion, you know, it's attention and it's good. But if it's just regurgitation, then, you know, it is dangerous. And I think it brings up, you know, probably the biggest point in this, the differences between being a high school coach and being a coach at a higher level is that you do have that parent perspective, the fan perspective. It is different because even at the college level, these kids have parents, but they're really not living with their parents at that time. They're living with their teammates. So there's things that you can do to control your team, whereas in high school, it's much more challenging, at least, you know, in my opinion.
It is. And Matt, I guess my question to you before we wrap this section up and go on, I can sit here as a sports fan and I'll constantly read and get everybody's opinion and do all sorts of things. But when it comes time for my season, a lot of times I get locked in that tunnel vision to where I just don't pay much attention to the prediction here, the prediction there, or whatever it is. But is it a fine line for today's high school coach where because it's out there for your kids that you need to be aware of it as well because of it is going to help you deal with some of the modern day athletes and the parents?
Yeah, I mean, you can't ignore, you know, the inevitable. We just live in a society now that's different. And, you know, these kids, your players are going to read things. They're going to see things. You know, the biggest thing over the last decade or so really has been what started off as J.J. Huddle, and in this area really grew into the Southeastern Ohio Preps. And now, like Jeremy said, you know, when you see something in the media, it's automatically true. He, you know, obviously was saying it sarcastically, but the issue is when we see it on TV or on radio about college and pro sports, at least there's typically a name attached to it. You know, it's even more dangerous than that at the high school level to an extent because people without guts enough to even put their name on it, We'll get on a website and bash kids, bash coaches, things like that, because it's really easy to do when you're hiding behind some made up, you know, username. And but kids,
Coach Combs, have you had your feelings hurt by something written?
Hey, you know what? You know what's funny about that is you know, I don't hardly ever get on that kind of thing anymore. And I like what Shane said about being focused in on the season. I never ever get on those types of things during the season. I know they're out there, and we talk to our kids about focusing in and kind of staying within the inner circle, you know.
Right.
But it's just such a distraction. But a lot of times outside of the season, I would read about other sports, or it's just when you're eating your lunch or whatever, you take a look. But you know, it's been ages really since I've been on there, and it's one of those things where there's it's like anything else. There's useful information on there sometimes. Right. You know, there's useful information on Twitter and Facebook, but then there's a lot of junk too.
Yeah.
And I think it's with your kids, with your players, it's that constant reminder of, listen, don't get caught up in stuff. There's things, but to answer your question, Shane, not to take forever, but as a coach, you better be aware of that stuff though, because
my point I was making. You almost have to be aware of it just to make sure that you keep a pulse of your team.
Well, you do, because I'll give you an example. Because during my season, for instance, when I coach, I try to be so focused in and locked in that I kind of stay away from all that junk. A couple years ago, we won a big game against one of our league rivals. And it was one of our bigger wins, and we ended up winning. Basically, that game led us to the league championship. And I didn't know all this stuff was going on, but I find out a couple weeks later that, you know, guys on our team are talking trash with guys on their team after the game, you know, posting things about, you know, and on Facebook. And I didn't even, you know, that thought never occurred to me. You know what I mean? Like, why are you going to be talking to the other team after the game on Facebook? But I guess, you know, that just shows I'm getting old and maybe lost touch a little bit, because that kind of thing happens now. So again, you know, that I learned a lesson from that. Now we talk a lot about, I don't want you on Facebook talking to kids from the other team. I don't want anything about the game. You know, it's just the society we live in. It's almost overwhelming at times, all the social media things.
Jeremy, as a principal now, like if you were to put yourself in, I don't want to say the middle, but if you were to be that bridge between, say, an upset parent and a coach, do you think there's a little bit of that line you cross or off limits? Like, a lot of times coaches, they don't mind the second guessing. They don't mind you talking the game with them. It's more of a character attack. In other words, I don't care if you think I should have bunted in the fifth inning, but you might bother me a little bit, like if you think I'm a cheater, or if you think I'm a liar, or think I'm not treating your kid properly. You see the line I'm talking about there? Is that maybe where the education part comes in? Just give us maybe an administrator standpoint here.
Well, that's interesting, and I guess it depends on your personal philosophies there of how you deal with things, or, you know, what you truly believe. You know, I think when you get into some of the matters that you're speaking of, when it becomes a personal attack, at that point, nothing good's going to happen, and you're not going to get either side to see eye to eye. Once it gets to that level, instead of just you know, a difference of opinion, I think you certainly need to redirect and maybe sit down and talk at another time, because when those things start flying around, it's only going to get worse and nothing good's going to happen. So I think you see that things escalate. Then at that point, people's emotions get too far involved, and they don't really want to talk. They just want to yell, or to get angry, or to get things off their chest. And
sure,
you know, nothing's ever going to be gained, and yet much could be lost from that. So I think, again, I'm not sure that you want to put yourself in a situation where I don't know if you want a middleman, and I'm not sure exactly if that's what you were asking about. I'm not sure that, you know, at what point do you involve the administrator? Is it a school issue? I think in those such many of those scenarios, it may even be better to use the middleman and not necessarily all three sit down, because diffusing the situation is the first priority, and getting people to see another perspective. If you can gain that, then at some point you can probably all sit down and get something figured out. But if you're not willing to see multiple perspectives, you're never going to accomplish anything by a face-to-face meeting.
Well, guys, I'll tell you what, that's a great discussion. I knew it'd be a lot of fun. I think what makes that one so interesting here on our 100th show is that covers every sport, every age group, every scenario you can possibly think of. Obviously, if you're listening, you have an opinion. We'd love to know that opinion. 740-569-3254. Just let us know. I think that's something I would love to revisit on and off throughout the remainder of the fall, and really throughout the remainder of our fourth season here on SVC Sports Talk. Well, guys, we're going to move on. Fans, encourage you to stay with us. Up next, we look at one of the most incredible weeks of volleyball the SVC has witnessed in quite some time. Well, Jeremy, I'll start with you here as we go to volleyball. Uniota beating Westfall in five, followed by their win over Adena in five. And you and I split a little bit this past week, and I was getting a lot of reports from you and a lot of details there. And I thought for some of the postseason things I do on the website with being my all-league teams and stuff, I really needed to see some other kids play this past week that I'm really up in the air on, and then I'll get an opportunity to see Westfall possibly twice this week as well as Adena another time. But Jeremy, now that you've had time to maybe step back and just maybe think a little bit about the incredible volleyball you had a chance to see, and I know I had a chance to go back and listen to on WKKJ and the great job they had done, just maybe give us your reaction in terms of this past week.
Well, I tell you what, it was remarkable. Just the level of intensity, the passion, not only from the kids on the floor, but it's a perfect example of how just work ethic and the will to win kind of transcends what goes on just the floor and expands out into the crowd and into the community. I thought it was just unbelievable the way the various schools supported their teams and the positive energy in those gyms at Westfall on Tuesday and then at Uniota on Thursday. It was just unlike anything that I have been a part of in a volleyball scenario, especially when the normal night is a much more relaxed kind of feeling, and there's not a lot of atmosphere involved. It was just unbelievable, and I don't even know how the kids had anything left. I don't know how they were standing to celebrate at the end, to be honest with you.
Well, Jeremy, I'll stay with you real quick on the Uniota side of things. Obviously, the stat sheet is something that was just incredible, and you look at some of the you had state records falling with McKenna Steinbrook. I know Alexis Overly showed up in the biggest way, and then what was so neat about the stat sheet is from the secondary hitters of Neff and Overly and then I know a Nelson all the way back to the defensively with some of the things Ward was putting up as well as Neff and Overly there. The thing that jumped out at me was system and how these stats come from great system, great scheme, and define roles and how kids buying into their roles. It's everything as a coach you'd ever want to preach. And those defined roles kind of had everyone excelling at what they do best. And when you put it all together, you had a championship team. Do you kind of see where I'm coming from there on that stat sheet, and do you agree?
Absolutely, and you do have to be careful statistically and getting too locked up in total numbers. Volleyball is a game of percentages. Volleyball is a game of management in terms of minimizing your mistakes. So I think when you look at games like that and the amount of opportunities that, that kids are presented because of how good it is on the other side of the net, I think you make the perfect point that the only way some of those big numbers happen is because there are so many people involved. You know what I mean, offensively and defensively, and that's what makes volleyball so unique. I don't know what was more remarkable about some of those stats. I mean, obviously the level of play, you know, if you're going to break a record, you want it to be in that type of environment.
Yes,
where it's,
yes,
where it's a big time game, not just all, you know, I was able to have however many, you know, kills and we won, you know, handily, or obviously you're going to, it's going to have to be somewhat competitive so that you can go five to get the amount of opportunities,
get those totals, right?
But when you talk about how few serving errors, how few receiving errors there were in that match, when you really dig in that, it's just unbelievable.
Yes. Well, Matt, it's time for you to put your coaching hat on for us here, because we have a really unique situation as we get to the tournament scenarios. You know, you've been fortunate enough to be in a lot of league title chases, and you've won a lot, but I know you've been on the short end of a couple too. And then, you know, the following week, it's time for tournaments. So your coach Ryan and I are trying to get your kids now focused in on finishing off the league. They need two wins, and they're going to be huge favorites nonetheless, but they still have to win Tuesday, Thursday, and then they got to go into the D2 tournament. Well, now on the other side of it, Westfall Edina, they realize that their league hopes are slipping, but you know, they both have a very, very legitimate chance to fight their way all the way back to the Elite Eight and have a chance to go to the Final Four. So what is it you're trying to do as a coach now when you transition from regular season to tournament in terms of keeping your kids focused and in the train of thought that you want as a coach?
Well, I don't, you know, one thing that I think can work in those situations when you have about a week left, maybe a couple games left, is either scenario, either in Uniota's case where it's looking pretty good for them to win the league, or in one of those other schools' case that you know, they would need a big time miracle really of some sort to help them out. But when you start thinking about the tournaments in either of those scenarios, I think you start trying to treat every game like a tournament game right about now. You know, if you've got
explain to us what you mean by that.
Well, I mean, if you've got two regular season games left, hey, let's treat this as like our semi-sectional, so to speak. You know what I mean? We have to go win these two to get to the sectional, and then we start the sectional and we go. I think just to start, you got to somehow try to get kids in that one and done mentality. You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, let's be real honest here. I mean, no coach wants to hear this, but when you start talking about Edina, Westfall, and Uniota especially, and in volleyball, it would take a major earth stop turning on its axis type of situation for them to get beat in the sectional.
You're gonna get labeled with the jinx. You better be careful.
I know. Yeah, I won't be on this show anymore if it happens. But I'll run and hide. That's the thing. I'm not like you, Shane. I'm expendable, man. I'll just end it. But I mean, so it might be hard to get kids in that sort of mindset and focus, because let's face it, I think some of these teams are used to really not getting challenged until the district level in volleyball. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Jeremy?
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's a challenge on how you handle that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you get the bye week, or you get you know, that doesn't happen in football, but you know, a lot of times the one seed, since they've expanded to eight, you know, you get a big discrepancy between the one and the eight, and you get some blowouts. So maybe you put in game plans that are in preparation of more than one opponent. I think it's a perfect opportunity to get things right with how you want to handle the little things, the pregame, you know, timeouts, how you're going to handle things in between sets. The logistical aspect of it and getting things maybe tightened up a little bit so that when the tensions rise and when, you know, the atmosphere escalates, all of those things are kind of in place, and the kids will just kind of fall in. And I think that's important. And I was always big on those little things. If you're going to do the big things, you know, you've got to be able to take care of your business. So you really want to kind of get in a routine and create that, so that as the stage gets bigger, you have less to worry about.
Well, Matt, you kind of led me into my next point here. I know you had some over-under numbers for Jeremy and I to take a look at there at the sectional, the district, and the regional champs. Why don't you start us out at your sectional number here?
4.5 over-under. Are we going to have more than or basically are we going to have 5 or are we only going to have 4 or less? Champions.
Jeremy, I'll jump in there. I think this is probably one of the easier levels with that number being set there. I think we'll go over there just taking a look at the brackets. The top half of the league I like. I also like now with Southeastern getting a chance to play at home. I think we'll be good. Now, I know Zane Trace got a terrible draw. I know Piketon, I think, will win a game, but then they're in West Falls bracket, and Paint Valley in Division Four, I think they'll win a game, but they're in the top seed in Notre Dame bracket. So I think it's going to fall at 5, so I'll take over. Or do you feel like Southeastern's there with me, or would you?
I completely agree. My confidence would be very high in over. I'm looking the same way you are at 5 teams.
Well, Matt, go to the district level there, and we'll let Jeremy start.
At the district level, 3.5 over under, Jeremy.
District, I'm going to go under. We'll get back to that confidence level and the way the brackets shake out. I would be really confident at 3, but more than hesitant to go over, so I'm going to stay under.
Now we're going to talk. We're talking now. I wasn't specific enough, guys. It is district champions, obviously. I want everyone listening to know. So when you're picking this, you're picking teams that are going to the regionals now.
Yeah, going to regional. You know, Jeremy, I don't know why, but I'm going to go over. I just, you know, from the preseason on there, there's some things I wanted to see from Huntington. I think, obviously, Adina Unio to Westfall, very, very capable. Again, Matt, like Matt said earlier, I think it's going to be district final before a lot of them are even challenged a little bit. But I like Huntington's draw, and this has been a team that I've been a little disappointed in spurts. They just haven't really gotten the consistency or a chemistry that I've liked. But there's enough talent there. I think their district semifinal could be a more difficult game than their district final if they could go. But you know, we'll see. Maybe a now or never here for Huntington. They've shown the ability to play with some of those top three teams in those short 10-15 point spurts, and then they've shown the ability to play down to some competition as well. But we'll see if the green and white can get it going here. And I'll go ahead and go 4. So Matt, finish us off here at the regional level.
Regional champions. So we're talking about a team going to the Final Four. Over under at 1. What do you think?
Well, man, I think that's a push. I think 1 is the number. I really do, and I think the SVC is in a great position because I don't feel like there's just one team capable. I think that we have 3 really good shots of getting that 1 berth. But you know, in all honesty, you know, I think that's a push.
Well, my original answer here, I want to be honest, is I went under. It's just so hard to do. Obviously, I'm rooting for 2. The push is probably a pretty good bet. I just think that regional final level is going to be the one hump that we have trouble getting over. I think that we're going to have multiple teams playing on that day, possibly playing each other. So obviously we're rooting for 2, but as of now, just looking at the brackets, I'll go under. But maybe we'll revisit that down the stretch. So,
hey, can I cut in real quick?
Yeah,
I don't want to make our show go over here. So maybe this will be something we can get into next week. But as I was doing my homework here, and you know how knowledgeable I am with volleyball, guys. But but I was looking at the brackets, and this was the first year. Remember we talked about the online seating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you guys notice some oddities in that? Like, do you think the online seating, there was just some weird things to me, like, and maybe I don't understand it completely, you know, I don't know. It might be something to look at next week. But did you notice there were some records of like a 9-win team getting worse seeded than a 4-win team? There was some stuff like that, if I'm looking at it correctly. But did you guys notice anything like that? Did you even look at that?
I'm not as familiar with the other half. I thought on our half, from what I could tell, it wasn't too lopsided. Jeremy, is there anything that jumped out at you?
There was a little bit on the Division II. I think there was a lot of variance in the middle seeds in the North bracket, but I think the South bracket kind of surprised me a little bit. I think there were some head-to-head matchups there that maybe some people weren't aware of, which I think maybe that's what Matt's talking about.
You know, well, sometimes. Yeah, and the reason I was saying it honestly is if this online seeding is going to take off, which I personally kind of hope it does, because it leads to some of the other things that I'd like to see, like the district wide. You know, you can't have these, you know, I don't know. You got to make sure you're voting ethically. But I need to look at it closer, because when you look at these brackets, it's confusing because you've got South and North intermingling, right. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's where, Matt, you make an awesome point, because I know the soccer brackets are out on the website now. We have the volleyball posted here. I would love to get some fan feedback in terms of what they thought. I see these prediction sites on SEO Preps all the time and so forth. If there's something maybe some of the fans didn't agree with, let us know, because obviously starting next week, a lot of what we talk about is going to be postseason.
So I'll do my homework. I know I went away from the agenda on you there, but I'll do my homework, and maybe we can talk about it next week a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, let's go on here. Guys, in the next segment, we go from the volleyball court to the football field. Each week answers more questions, but I know more figure something out, and I know another one comes up. I have a question I need an answer for, and I ask Matt and Jeremy next. Well, SVC fans, I want to let you know every Friday night I'm out and about, and I'm getting great updates from people all over the Cider Valley Conference, and I always keep you up to date on Shout-O-Matic. If you're not familiar with it, you just go right on the website. You'll see it toward the top, the Shout-O-Matic link. It's just basically Facebook, but with a voice. If you follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, you'll get those. In fact, Bruce, do we have the Shout-O-Matic example from the other night?
Our final halftime update here on this football Friday night comes from up at Westfall, probably the marquee matchup of this week with Uniota visiting the Mustangs. And Coach Patterson couldn't draw the game plan up any better on the opening drive. Westfall takes the ball and goes for what seemed like an hour. It ended up being over 10 minutes, about 15 plays. It was capped off by a Maple TD run. They fake the PAT and throw it in for 2-8-0 Westfall at that point. But since then, it's been all Eric Hosley, the special athlete, the quarterback there for Uniota. He scores from 41 yards out. He's also had a 60-yard TD run. Squeezed in the middle there was a 1-yard Dylan Vinegar run. Kozad's been good on all the PATs throughout tonight. So Uniota 21, Westfall 8. They're at the half up in Williamsport.
Well, Bruce, I appreciate you getting that for me for the show here. And guys, listening here, that's one of about 7 or 8 shouts from Friday night. I give you updates from all over all four games, and it's just a neat thing to kind of get to kind of be able to follow whatever the game is. You know, guys, I went down to the Piketon the other night. I really wanted to see up close the Piketon offense and kind of getting a feel for some of the matchups coming up. But obviously the matchup everybody's talking about is Paint Valley at Westfall. And I guess the question I have is the question I've had a couple people ask me this week, and I'm sure I'll get asked about it more as the week goes on and we get closer to Friday night. But Matt, I'll start with you. When we think of Paint Valley going to Westfall, I've had some people ask me, you know, this is kind of where things went sour for the Bearcats last year. Why might this year be different if you wanted to play Mr. Optimistic for Paint Valley?
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, you know, Paint Valley shot themselves in the foot a little bit last year. You know, we all know that they had some adversity there in the middle of the season with some things that happened near the half of time of Westfall game, I believe, which led into then the next week where they had you know, a player out, and they had some adversity they were having to deal with as a team. And I think, one, you know, you'd like to think they grew up from that and won't have those same issues. And then, two, a lot of these kids, especially some of their key players, they went through this last year. And we've talked about it before on this show, the value of experience, right? I mean, you go through something once, it's bound to make you a little bit stronger, a little more mature, know what to expect the next time. So I just think that some of these Paint Valley kids are a little bit more mentally ready to take on this challenge of trying to run the table and finish this thing off in the league this year.
Jeremy, when I look at the Adena Sports Medicine, and I appreciate their sponsorship for our stats page, I'm intrigued by the team stats. And I know some of those are swayed because of who they play in the non-league. But nonetheless, I guess the simple question I would ask you, I look at Paint Valley and Uniota as being the two most complete teams. But with Paint Valley already beating Uniota head-to-head, I guess for Paint Valley, I now look to the Westfall and to the Piketon matchups. Do you see more of a Westfall defensive type of team being the more dangerous opponent on the road, or do you see maybe a Piketon team being more dangerous, a team that can maybe get wrapped up in a 45-44 game with Paint Valley? Which opponent to you, in terms of maybe being the most dangerous roadblock for Paint Valley, do you see?
Well, you know, I think here's where, you know, the later in the season you get, the weather becomes a factor.
That's a good point, yeah.
If you have a mud mess, you know, does that give, say, a Westfall an opportunity to control the game and to control possession? And, you know, maybe you get a couple turnovers. Now all of a sudden you've shortened the game. I would probably lean in that direction. But honestly, I think without turning the ball over multiple times, I think that the weather would probably be the biggest factor in Paint Valley getting upset at this point.
Well, guys, obviously we're going to talk a lot more football here over the next couple of weeks as we get closer to championship time. But for now, I want to get into our 2-minute drill. This week, we look at three fill in the blanks that cover some of the key events in the upcoming week. Guys, we will all take a turn on all three of these this week. Matt, let's have you go first each time. Jeremy, you go in the middle and I'll take the final turn. Bruce, what do you have for us this week?
The SVC Cross Country Meet is this Saturday at Southeastern. This past weekend, the SVC runners were in action at the Uniota Invite. In that meet, the Piketon boys beat Uniota, and the Uniota girls beat Zane Trace. These wins a week before the league championship are blank.
I'm going to say a great motivator.
I'm going to say interesting. Very interesting.
I'll say potentially historic.
In last week's district golf tournament, Uniota and Piketon played well but failed to advance. Caleb Arnold carded a 70 to win a district player of the year. Arnold's upcoming round at the state tournament is blank for the SVC.
Possibly one for the ages.
Icing on the cake.
I'm going to say hopefully motivational.
As the calendar turns to October, the inbox always starts getting some basketball emails. With this in mind, the upcoming basketball season in the SVC could be blank.
Could be upset driven.
I'm going to say golden.
Well, Jeremy, I even added in the purple and golden. Well, guys, let's go right back here to the first one. I use the term potentially historic from the standpoint of I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say Uniota is now sitting on 13 in a row. I think I have that number right, and nonetheless, it's a lot. And the Zane Trace girls have had their way of late, too. Obviously, we get late in the year and we get a lot of, I don't know if sandbagging is the right term, but a lot of times you get different things going on. I know there's some bigger schools there with Logan and Rock Hill and Chillicothe running with the SVC kids. But, you know, you get conditions this time of year. obviously Piketon with Farmer and Dixon and Varney, they're right up there at the top, and now they're getting some extra kids in, and Unioto, obviously very talented at the top as well. Probably overall half the all-league team is going to be made up of those two schools. You know, Matt, as you look back at your answer, what are some of your thoughts here on the boys' side going into Saturday?
Well, I the reason I said the motivational thing, the great motivator, is they might have just poked that sleeping giant just enough, a week before. I would think that if with the pride that those two programs have, and you just mentioned the history of the Unioto boys, St. Trace girls. It might be a little bit of an eye opener and say, okay, we're gonna show that we're still the big dog on this block. So, but we'll have to wait and see.
Jeremy, when you look at your answer and I look down through the Zane Trace and the Unioto girls, Zane Trace still seems to have the two elite runners, where Unioto has a little bit more depth when you look at their top four or five with Wolf and Chen there at Zane Trace, and then the top four led by Harkins and Nip at Unioto. But Clarkson of Adina individually is going to be one to watch. But in another sport, we would look at this as saying that a Unioto or Zane Trace has an intimidation factor, or they're still the champions and they have to be beat. Does cross country work that way in your opinion? Is it more one of those you're going to line up, they're going to shoot the gun, and then off you go, and usually the times aren't going to lie from throughout the year?
I think maybe that's the difference, because there's only a couple teams that are capable of winning. Strategy becomes important. From an overall standpoint, part of my answer was as much the growth of the sport and some of the individual runners, some of the teams, and how the depth of talent in the league has just increased over the past few years. But team strategy and preparation, I think maybe, like Matt said, motivation even is going to help the teams there at the top build for that championship, but also kind of prepare for the districts yet to come as well.
Well, Matt, as I go on to the second question, I know I want to start with you, because I know you've been real high on the Arnold kid all year, and the improvement. I know his improvement in the offseason really impressed you when we shared that statistic on the show last week. Just your take as he gets ready to take on a pretty tough track up there in Columbus, and what you're looking forward to.
Well, the reason it's funny, we never rehearsed this show, and my answer was really going to be potentially historic, so I had to be a little more creative after you hit me with that one in the first one, Shane. But I just think this kid is a better than maybe people were even giving him credit for. I mean, he's gotten to this point. It's not like that he's, just sliding through, barely qualifying. I mean, he's shooting,
right.
even par rounds pretty much or whatever in the districts. Why can't he go up there and do something special? That's the way I look at it. I mean, this kid's improved, I think we talked about, what, six shots or something on his nine hole average from last year. Obviously, he's found something that's working for him. He's playing arguably his best golf right now. So, to me, he could go up there and do something special.
Well, Jeremy, I know you always have good mindset thoughts when it comes to golf and comes to working with kids. Just what would be your thought process for him as he gets ready to take on such a special experience?
Well, as much as we'd like to see more representation and even team representation, anytime you have an athlete like Caleb gets the opportunity to play in the state tournament, to kind of have all eyes on you, I think it is just icing on the cake from really just an unbelievable season overall and, individually for Caleb Arnold.
Well, guys, I said hopefully motivational, and beyond what he's doing, I would want a kid to go up there and enjoy the process, enjoy the experience, and trust your talent and just play the best you can. But when I answered this more for the league, I guess I was looking back at hopefully a way of motivating the league to increase that parity and desire. I've talked about playing with five for a team, and sure enough, if you look back, Unioto's team loses by one shot of going. Piketon was right there knocking on the door as well. If Unioto's playing with six that day, they very well are heading to the state tournament. They lost by just one shot. So I look with Piketon having great youth coming back. I would love to see the league continue to take a look at that five, because I think it would increase JV golf. I think it would allow our varsity to play more courses, more pressure with parity, because I think what happens is golf is such a here's the day you have to shoot it sport. It doesn't matter if you can shoot it 4 out of 5 days in the week if you can't shoot it on that day. And I think the parity in the league would put more pressure on some of the play throughout the year, and it would only help our league. So, yeah, obviously, best of luck to Caleb. We're rooting for him, and I think it's just a neat thing for the SVC to always be represented at the highest level of the sport. And, you know, guys, in the last one, Jeremy, we are obviously, you know, somewhat close. I know Coach Miller and Coach Hoops will appreciate my answer, but, you know, on the girls' side, obviously Uniota is a big favorite. Westfall, Zane Trace have nice teams coming back. Southeastern's going to be really, really talented, if I'm being honest, and seeing them in the summer. But then on the boys' side, you know, there's a lot of league roster rumors. There's a lot of injury rumors. I know expectations are really high there at Uniota, so I thought I would throw a little fun out there in terms of expectation. But you know, Jeremy, as you were talking golden there too, I'm assuming we're on a similar thought pattern here.
Yeah, I don't think you know, it's too foolish of a thought to believe that, you know, Union is the you know, maybe overwhelming favorite. Still, you know, in order to get the gold ball, you have to be more than just talented. You got to catch some
breaks.
Oh,
no question. Yeah.
I think you have a nice mix of some strong senior classes and some strong senior athletes. But again, it's almost time to turn the tide, and I think you're going to see some young players emerge this year that you know, maybe flip the switch on some of the programs in the conference and maybe turn the page on what's happened the past few years and give us a new outlook and some hope for some schools that have struggled recently.
Well, Matt, you obviously, as a coach, we're not going to go down the golden path. Obviously, in all seriousness, we understand how incredibly difficult that is, and you can appreciate that more than anybody. You're talking upset-driven. I got a feeling you really look for some great parity in the league.
Well, and I don't even know if it's parity, to be honest with you. I think, and I was talking mostly boys here with my answer, by the way, but I mean, I think Uniota is clearly the best team, you know, on paper in the boys' half, the SVC this year. I don't even, you know, to me, I don't even know if you can make a real good argument on how they're not. I mean, you're talking about a group that can go basically 10 deep, 11 deep, they had to, whatever. But you know as well as I do how difficult it is to go 14-0 in this league. And there are teams, you know, you don't have to be the better team to pull that off one night. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We all know that. And there are teams in this league, you're talking about players. Just look at players for a minute. You're talking about players like Mowry, obviously, like Brewster from Piketon. You know, you start talking about great individual talents. Some nights that's all, you know, some nights one guy goes off and carries a team. And then you could go to other teams in the league, whether it be Adina with the Thomas kid, from what I understand, will probably get the Hall kid second half of the year. You've got, how about a team like Paint Valley? Who if they have a night where they don't get in foul trouble and can just play the five or six guys they want to play. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They've got some pretty good players. The list, Southeastern obviously has got some kids they can run at you. So it's not going to be, even though a Uniota is clearly the best team, I think, on paper, just to say, hey, they're just going to roll out there and win 14 games. That's a lot easier said than done, obviously.
Well, guys, I tell you what, I know we've gone over a little bit this week, but I mean, I think it was a lot of fun, our 100th show. I knew that, that first topic there on the second guessing would bring a lot of opinion. I hope we get some great feedback. And then certainly beyond that, I thought it was really important to highlight what some of the things going on in our secondary sports and then obviously the peak ahead of the winter. But definitely want to thank you guys and Bruce, thank you and thank everybody, the sponsors, obviously with Triple Crown. Family Fun Center, what you guys do for us in the show. So I look forward to doing a lot more of these things. So, guys, I tell you what, we'll go ahead and we'll end it there. That was our 100th show, and I look forward to another 100. Again, thank you, Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Again, thank you, Bruce Knox, all the wonderful people at DBK Media Services. I want to thank all of the people who have helped in some way, with a special thanks to you, Matt, and you, Jeremy. So fans, until next time, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.